The podcast you are about to listen to discusses comic books and comic book related media. Be warned, the following will review art, plot, and themes, and will therefore contain spoilers of the materials discussed. Welcome to Comics League International.
This is Comics League International, episode 19. With me again, is Derek.
No one else will talk to you regularly.
No, that's actually sadly true. Edgar's off in Mexico for an adventure. I'm so lonely. Please talk to me about comic books. Well, last time we talked about the X-Force statics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of in the middle of that, we had a Ms. Marvel discussion. And we figured off air, like, oh, let's just read the first five issues of the new 2014 Ms. Marvel series, written by G. Willow Wilson and illustrated by Adrian Alfana. So that was Ms. Marvel 1 through 5. And, you know, we'd see... by the way, we've got dogs and birds and all types of wildlife just running around. So that's going to sink into some of the mics. Consider it atmosphere. Just pretend we're recording this, like, in the back porch of, like, Jurassic Park. So any minute now, monsters could come and be like, I'm going to eat you. But we're still saying, nah, screw it. We're going to talk about comic books. The Titanic sinks due to the dinosaurs. The band kept talking about comic books. The way it should be. Now, I guess all out there on the website, dailytroubadour.com, I've reviewed the first four issues as they came out, and I was underwhelmed. Derek, you read these for the first time?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Overall, what was your impression?
Overall, I liked it. I kind of skimmed your reviews when they first came out, but I didn't do a deep read because I was planning on reading it at some point anyway.
Yeah.
Overall, I liked it. I can already see some of your criticism as being fair, and we can discuss that as we go. But in general, I liked it. Like, I like Kamala so much. And art is so good.
Oh, the art's amazing. Like,
art's amazing.
Like, that's really the only reason I read the first four is because the art is just like, oh, that's awesome. But
yeah,
go ahead.
And, it's one of those, like, I think I'm more forgiving than you. Like, I'm willing to give something some slack.
Yeah.
You're like, nope, you've betrayed me. You're dead to me. You know?
How dare you give away my secrets, Derek? This show is over.
No, and I think in a way, it's honestly because you want it to be good more than I do. Like, you're holding it to a higher standard. But me, I'm like, kind of liked it. We'll see what keeps happening.
Yeah.
But like I said, I feel like... But yeah, in general, I liked it. I think there's some many fair criticism of the writing. Like, I did get about two issues in, and I was like, I know five people who would be better writers of this... of this series. Just pass it off.
Yeah.
It'd be so good.
Yeah.
But also, the only other things that I didn't like were... I didn't like how the tone changed very radically. Like, it would go from, like, hyper-silly, like tick-level silly.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of serious, like, family, you know, growing up, drama sort of stuff. Yeah. And then, I don't know, I feel like it's a book that's trying to figure out what it is a little bit.
Well, to kind of just go.
No, but I think my biggest complaint is a lot of the writing thing that really bugged, other than just the normal cliche, I'm a young hero coming into my own type stuff.
Which is stuff we generally like.
Yeah. I think a lot of the problems, it had a lot of the dialogue sounded a lot like a 30, 40-year-old woman trying to write what she thinks a 16-year-old girl now talks like. And especially when there was a Simpsons joke out of nowhere, I was like,
kids
girl,
don't talk about Simpsons.
Yeah, 16-year-old girls do not talk about Simpsons anymore. Like, I'm sorry. That time has faded.
On that one, like, that is one of the areas that I really can't judge. I mean, I haven't lived in the States since 2004. So, like, kind of keeping my finger on the pulse of, like, what modern America, especially youth, really sounds like, I have no idea.
Right.
So I might be more forgiving of that, but again, just, I felt like the writing and the setup for everything just to be so cliched of like, hey, what's a superhero staple? Let's throw that in there. From the first mention of the, ooh, I make science-y stuff, I'm like, that's gonna play in for costume and it's gonna be
lame. Oh, yeah, as soon as they introduce, like, I've got this super stretchy polymer I'm conveniently made. You know, I rolled my eyes at that.
Yeah.
Admittedly, that sort of stuff is in most comic books somewhere. It's kind of in the DNA. And I gave it a little bit of a pass because they did go to the trouble to establish that Kamala is a huge nerd about superheroes.
Yeah.
And the idea that these commonplace superhero tropes are going to be there and just kind of be like, I mean, when I got to the end of the five issues and her main villain is a cockatiel, I was like, okay, I'm not supposed to be taking this that seriously. But because for me, what felt really, what took me out of the story a bit was more stuff like when her best friend, her science-y guy,
Mr. Science, Bruno.
Bruno, you know, whatever. When he rats her out to her parents, and is like, that's what I had to do. And she's like, okay, whatever, and just moves on with it. I'm like, no, that would be a way bigger deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you met any children?
That's like, you sold me out to the fuzz. You broke that sacred bond. You have stomped all over our relationship. And yet here it's like, but I still have a crush on you because girls have crushes on boys.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all.
Yeah. I mean, before I really go into the stuff that I didn't like, because that's, we'd just be here all day. I mean, besides the art, like, I really can't sing the praises of just how gorgeous every page of this book is. I found myself, honestly, really, the thing I enjoyed the most is the family relationship of this comic. Mm-hmm. It was sometimes very, like, heavy-handed, but I just I liked the tone of especially the scenes where it's like the father and the daughter talking, and you can see like him kind of floating between like, no, I'm your dad and I care for you and I want you to understand we want this all for the best of you, but sometimes you just piss me off and you're gonna have to go to your room because can't hit my child, you know?
Yeah, all the family relationship stuff, especially between her and her dad and her mother.
Yeah.
Like, I bet, like, that's something I can see really resonating.
Oh, yeah. People, with
the kids, you know, people that are in that age group that are still dealing with those kind of issues. They probably found that really, like me, I mean, you and I both, we're about the same age, so we're kind of long way past all that.
Yeah,
and
our
family experiences were completely different. So that stuff I found really interesting. But I mean, I wish they'd spent more time with it before immediately, you know, running off into, I don't know, drama theater or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And
theater.
Woohoo! Hey, I'm cribbing off Invincible, which is cribbing off of others. So the book does have its moments of just, of enjoyable parts, but I think it's just so bogged down in mediocre fluff.
Well, you know what I think?
Yep.
My sort of theory I started developing, I was reading, like, I think those first few issues were outlined within an inch of their life. Because everything happens like clockwork. Like establishing that, you know, like think of the, in the first issue, you have her being like, my life sucks, everything sucks, I love superheroes. Then she gets powers and she becomes blonde Miss Marvel. And then she I was like, wow, that's a really interesting choice. And of course she ultimately arrives at like, no, I want to be me. And huzzah! And that is the moral that you should give there. But it felt too easy, you know. It felt like she was never tempted.
None of the stuff that I found interesting in that first issue was ever adequately explored. Well, I guess let's start out a little bit, because one of the problems I have with this book is not actually the fault of the book itself. We all read lots of different stuff. We all have lots of different interests. And we all develop kind of little tick boxes of, like, if this is in a story, no matter how good the story is, I'm just going to enjoy it less. For example, you know, who here has seen Donnie Darko? Raise your hands. Me... the type of story that, and this does not concern Ms. Marvel, but it's an illustration, the type of story that the end of the story prevents the entire story from actually happening.
Okay.
That's just, if that happens, I'm going to be like, automatically, I care less about what I just read. Like, it could be the most awesome thing. We get the ending.
It's a dream.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a dream, or I went back in time, so it never happened. I'm like, nope, I wasted an hour.
It never happened, then why'd you bother to tell it to me?
Yeah, exactly. And this, it has a few things, like, kind of, one of the lower in spectrum things is I don't like her power set.
Okay,
interesting. It's kind of the generic catch-all, I can do anything, but blah. It's like the min-maxer power set. I stretch, and I shapeshift, and I do this, and
I change my
that.
Density, which means I can do anything.
Yeah, it's like, wait, so you're Apocalypse crossed with Plastic Man, but without...
And I can heal.
And yeah, because healing's awesome. And it's just the point of, like, I really... Like, you're less interesting than a character with actual limitations, because you don't really... You only have plot-convenient limitations. And when she uses her powers throughout this comic, we totally see those, we actually have a series of pages. This is later on. It might be like issue 3 or so, where we actually have one page. I've been shot, so I can't shapeshift because I'm shot and I'm injured. Flip the page and the cops arrive. Oh, the cops are here, so I'm going to grow really big, blah, 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 and show them I'm a super. I'm like, wait, you just said a page ago.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up. That specific scene bothered me so much because, like, okay, and so thus far in the comic, in the story, in the rules of this world, you have not established where her powers come from, which is smart. Because, so either they are science-based or they are mystical. If they're science-based, there has to be a rationale for everything that she does. I think it's supposed to be mystical, because there already seem to be, like, some mystical-like rules about it. Like, that she'll only heal when she's in her true form.
Yeah.
You know? That seems very mystical to me. But then that exact scene, she just got done explaining why she couldn't heal. And then she got small. She got big, and then she got small. And Karina read it, and we were talking about it. And I was like, that really bugged me. And she's like, but she's still herself. She's getting bigger and smaller, which shows it only bothers people like you and me. But I was like, no, you said this is how it worked. And then the very next
exactly.
Page, but it's a little different because we needed her to... You know, I was like, it sounds like they're basically molding her power to fit what they need.
Exactly.
That's bad. Because it's more interesting when you have limitation. Yeah, I agree with
that. And if you're gonna paint the blanket of like, no, she has to be who she is to heal... You got nitpicky. It hurts the story for me. And we'll kind of get on more into that.
I understand the impulse to make her just as super badass as possible. I understand the impulse, but I do think it does weaken the narrative. I'll agree with that.
Yeah. And then this kind of actually goes into a little bit not necessarily a fault of the book, but the source of her powers. And this is kind of a, it's not in the comic, but it's just kind of floating around in Marvel, is, well, you know, when Disney said no more mutants, it did more damage than the Scarlet Witch. Of just like, you know, oh, we don't want to create more mutants because we don't have movie rights, yada, yada, inside baseball. I don't quite understand it myself. But this whole, like, that's why the Inhumans are suddenly getting a push. And the whole, like, Terrigen mists are activating. And it's like, so basically you're just creating mutants. And so, oh, no, they're Inhumans now because reasons. And all that stuff. And I'll admit, like, the fact that this is supposed to be a tie-in, this is supposed to be a product, she's supposed to be an Inhuman, it does not affect the story. There's really very little tied into it, but I find myself just going, that's bullshit. That's just, that's like the hand of the company reaching in and saying, dollar bills, I want some. And it makes me, it anytime, like, when I know there's the big kind of uber picture that doesn't actually matter in the story, but you can kind of feel that pressure, I'm like, I care less. Yeah. I don't want to know the big brother.
Obviously, just for the story they're trying to tell, the audience they're trying to reach. Like, obviously, there were a lot of hands in that pot.
Oh, yeah. You know?
But there's just no way there couldn't be. I honestly would, like I said, I would love to come back and read more, like, after they've switched writers.
Oh, God, yes.
But just they've gotten far enough away from the impact crater of launching this thing that it can start, like I said, like, I feel like it's trying to find itself.
Yeah, and
like, I mean, I'd like to come back in, like, 10 issues and see what's going on.
See, I would too, but I mean, that's in a way one of the things is this book is a critical darling. Fans love it. People sing its praises. I have not heard not even an unkind word, just a, oh, no, but you know, it could be stronger. Like, people are going like, holy shit, this is the best thing ever since ever. And I'm just kind of reading it going like, this is an okay, average at best comic. And almost it's getting, to me, it's getting that kind of like the opposite of like, people are saying how awesome it is. And so when I read it and see, to me, what are obvious plotting issues, dialogue issues, unrealistic characters, just terrible narrative pacing. And I'm going like, why? Like, it makes me like it even, I don't want to give it that little ounce of credit because, like, no, too many people are saying how awesome this is and it's just not that good, which kind of makes me a jerk. But I think we all do that when you hear from your friends how great a particular movie is and it gets built up and built up and then you watch it and you just go like, was that the same movie?
No, I mean, I do get it. I mean, in some ways, I share the sentiment. But also, it's one of those things where sometimes you are so excited about the idea.
Yeah.
You swallow it whole. And you are, and those people who love it, they aren't saying it because they're afraid people will yell at them if they say they don't like it or if they have criticism.
I'm sure I think they're
legitimately so excited that they like it, you know? And that's sort of like I totally agree with you. There's like, especially once they get to the section where she's trying to break into the house to save that dude, and then she has like a training montage that seems like it probably took like 3 weeks or something.
Yeah.
And then they were like, no, it was like the next day. I'm like, that's physically impossible. She could not have done that much training in that amount of time. I'm sorry. So it just totally dispelled all the tension. Because also part of the problem is this first trade that we read, there is no villain.
No.
There is no main villain.
There's the hair and who talks of...
Yeah, she's fighting thugs. I mean, which she should be at this level of her career. So I kind of dug that.
Yeah.
But... it just dissipated the feeling of tension. Like, I'm like, I feel like she's going to be able to take out these randos, you know? Yeah.
On level one of Diablo, you shall fight the imps of being crappy imps. Ooh, I did it! And it doesn't help the storyline that the whole purpose for her to go into the house is to rescue the guy who shot her, who's Bruno's, I don't know, friend, brother. At the point, I was like, lame story is lame. Hey, I have a gun. It is unloaded. Therefore, I will not be able to shoot people. Oh, no. I think it was accidentally loaded. I am not a good story.
Yeah. I think they need to find her kind of, you know, they need to find her Uncle Ben. You know, like, so far to date in the story, she is doing these things because she has superpowers. Yeah. And she loves superheroes. She's like, well, I have superpowers. Obviously, I should be a superhero. Like, I think she needs to have the, like, she needs some skin in the game. You know, like.
Yeah.
Maybe not the level of having one of her family members.
No.
But she needs her raison d'etre. You know, like why are you doing this?
Even if it's just like if they, and maybe they did this in issue 6 through whatever it's up through. Now, I know she met Wolverine, which I'll be honest, was like Wolverine's coming. I was like, oh, not gonna read that. Do not care. Hey, Wolverine showed up like he does in every book to be like, you're okay, kid. I'm like, they should be the same height. They should, you know, she needs to, maybe she does find, like, a mentor, another superhero. I mean, not something as bad as, say, a heavy-handed teen superheroes blew up a school or whatever it was and that started off Civil War. But, like, some type of small failure or something that puts her in touch with a more established, with Carol. And, see, to kind of go back in time in our conversation, I thought the idea that was somewhat presented and then never touched on again, and I don't know if it gets touched on in later issues. If it does, please let me know, because I'd like to read it, loyal listener.
Brent's mom.
Hey, Mom. Thanks. Go read some comic books for me, Mom. But the kind of, in the first issue, the dream sequence, faith sequence.
Where, oh, yeah, that was great. That I wanted more of that.
Yeah, that was like, I really want this to get picked up, but kind of out of storyline. It's like, this is, it's missed, so it's that inhuman bullshit. But I really want to see more of that kind of. Where I'm pausing for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's just like, because in my head, I've always sort of connected Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel with Shazam. Mm. Like, even though I know that's not correct.
Yeah.
For some reason, I've always associated
their
names powers.
Are completely different. One's, know, Captain, right? Marvel, and one's, well,
so
now,
when they did all
Captain,
that stuff, like where the Fates or whatever took the form of Carol Danvers to give her this holy mission or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, sweet. Is this like a mystical thing?
Yeah.
They need some more mystical related characters in Marvel, and they're starting that whole phase with the Doctor Strange movie coming up. So I was like, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it would also get the potential for her powers to mature and change.
Yeah. And I think the mystical would have been more interesting, or at least developed it more. Like, what does the Fates, her faith, mean to her? How does that interact? Would have been more interesting than just generic, you're a superhero, especially since they brought it up. And kind of like you mentioned, you know, issue one ends with her kind of reverting to what she thinks of as a hero, which is blonde, statuesque Carol Danvers in the, I can't remember which artist did it now. I want to say Dave Cockrum, but it's probably not. The black leotard suit.
Mm-hmm.
And then that goes away in, let's see, here's issue 2, page 1. Well, what do you know? By the end of page 1 of issue 2, that whole blonde thing goes away. So it's like, here's the big stock ending. Oh, wait, no. And like, you baited me, but then you switched.
Well, I feel in a lot of ways, I mean, it's, they're trying to do a lot of things at once.
Yeah.
They're trying to introduce this character. They want to talk about her religion and her faith and what that part of her culture. They want that to be a part of that character. And I think that's a noble goal. But they don't quite give it enough time. They just kind of like, because they're also doing the young hero learns how their abilities work arc.
Yeah.
They're also, you know, introducing the side characters. And, you know, so like, I feel like they're just like, they're trying to do too many things at once.
And
there's a certain few.
And because they're trying to do so many things at once, I felt like while reading these and rereading these again now, that none of them get enough service. And so it feels like nothing is happening. Like, I don't feel any real forward momentum through these issues for the most part, because it's like, here's a little snippet here, here's a little snippet there. But in the end, none of them are developed enough for me to really care. And just partly because, I don't know, I'm a jerk, but just the flaws shine through.
Mm. Like, I mean, like, they threw in that scene where her and her cousin are at, I want to say church, but it's not actually church.
At the mosque?
At the mosque, thank you. And they throw in that bit where she yells at the leader of the mosque.
Yeah.
I'm showing my white boy-ness now. but where she yells at him about, you know, throwing a little shot.
The Iman, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, and a shot. And then, but it just kind of...
Fizzle!
It's like the whole rest of the book. There's not this feeling that she's mad about her religion and she's going to show him what's what. It just seems like kind of just this, she got this through a random pot shot. But maybe that's what, maybe in a weird way, that's what they were going for. That they're trying to say that she is young. She's there's a lot of things happening all at once. She's making mistakes and doing things wrong. But like I said, the narrative's a little muddled, so it's hard to say.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of, have you watched Legend of Korra?
I watched the first season.
Okay. I started watching the second season, and they're doing a great job with 16-year-old girl, really powerful, tons of responsibility. She's making so many mistakes, you know.
That's nice.
And it's fun because you know that they, because in the first season they kind of didn't know if they were going to have a second season.
Yeah.
The second season they knew they were going to have a full run, so they said, okay, we have an arc where she's going to learn to handle things. Mm-hmm. You know, and learn to grow. It gives her room to grow. And I think it's honestly, they just didn't want Kamala to be wrong. You know, they never wanted her to seem weak or wrong.
Mm.
Or it's basically that she's awesome and she's going to continue to be awesome as she learns her powers. And I'm like I said, I get that. I get that instinct to, you finally have this amazing character, this amazing female. Muslim, Pakistani character getting major big headlines.
Yeah.
This is a big deal culturally. And I understand that instinct to, she's so awesome, let's make her super awesome all the time.
Let's make her the awesomest. I
mean, yeah, exactly. But like I said, if you don't give her any, if she's very static in this first five issues.
Yeah.
Like she learns a little bit about how her powers work, but she doesn't really grow as a character. She doesn't, you know... Like, I never feel like she's any real danger.
No,
because there's no heavy. And when they introduced... what is he? Edison is his name? The cockatiel?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's going to be like this, is it?
Yeah.
You know, like... Maybe he's a perfectly effective villain later, and I'll fall in love with him. But I was like, oh, silly villain.
You know
because I feel like Young Justice... to bring up something near and dear to our hearts.
I love that.
Yeah. They would have silly villains, but they were still pretty effective and terrifying when it came to...
Hey, what was silly about the Mighty Endowed?
I forgot about that character. Yeah. I mean, their main antagonists, like, were Fight and Mad. You know?
Yeah. And
it's silliest names, but they were perfectly effective characters.
But then you also had kind of what you were talking about, and, you know, I did not read the Young Justice to be ready to talk about on this, but, I mean, I kind of felt like the whole point of a lot of the Young Justice issues was, here are these young, established, experienced superheroes who still screw up a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the whole point of, especially the first 15 issues, up through, in a way, The Sins of Youth, is... they want to try and do their best, but they're still learning. They're still making mistakes. And this just kind of felt like, here's someone who just gets their powers, but let's not have any big mistakes. Or when there are mistakes and she gets shot, we don't want to actually have any repercussions last.
Yeah.
We don't want to have any scars formed on a character who we want people to love.
Yeah, and Kamala herself never seems... But she's like freaked out for like 10 seconds. She's like, oh, wait, I'm healing. It's cool. Never mind.
Yeah, you know? and kind of you mentioned like all the Simpsons references. Imbigan, disimbigan. And I'm like, wow, Lisa would be so proud. It, you nobled the spirit of whatever. I can't remember the quote, but...
Yeah, and we are the correct age to know those quotes.
Yeah, yeah. Can... All right, so I gotta bring this up. This is going to be such a nerd nitpicky thing, but...
It's your podcast.
Yeah. Damn straight it is. But, like, here's one of the things that kept on bugging me. And this kind of goes back to her power set. Like, and I was going to let it go. But they just kept bringing it up. And kept bringing it up. And spent, like, almost more time was spent developing the idea of her costume than developing her as a person, I almost felt. Like, we get more... It gets more screen time than almost any of the other minor characters. She has shape-shifting powers. Why does she need a costume? Like, we are shown continuously throughout that. And I know that's a little thing, and I shouldn't be harping on it, but, like, no, if you're going to take pretty much in the first five issues, almost half an issue to a full issue, just talking about her needs for a costume and planting seeds for that super snot throughout it.
Yeah,
and, but then you show them through there, like, oh, she can completely morph anything she's wearing and any stuff like that, to the point where she's talking about, like, what Carol Danvers' underwear is underneath or not underneath her outfit. I'm like, why are you talking about a costume?
Have some, like, it requires a lot of concentration.
Yeah, there's like a quick throwaway line that felt like an afterthought of, it can be a distraction. It's like, what do you mean a distraction? You've had your powers for, like, 15 minutes, and you're already fully transforming everything. Like, that's, like, what are you going to do if you have a runny nose? And it's just... The fact that that got so much screen time as opposed to stuff that would actually be interesting or worthwhile character-wise, just really...
I mean, once they got into all the costume stuff, I thought they were going to do the Meteor Man scene, where she tries out 18 different costumes, each dumber than the last.
Yeah.
Because that's funny, and I like that joke. Because they did it in Meteor Man, and they did it in Lois and Clark. The record show.
Yeah. You could argue they did it.
The flashback to when he was getting ready to go to Metropolis and his mom kept trying out different costumes for him. It was fun.
You could argue they did that several times in Preacher with Mr. Star with the different hats and the different wigs. It's a good gag. It's a good gag. And something that, but here is just like, ooh, no, we want to talk about costumes, but we don't actually want to go through the process. She will basically be in one direction straight through to her final look. Again, small point, but all these little small things just kept on adding up. Like, even to the thing, I mean, I love the fact that, this is a comic that is focusing on a character type, an ethnicity, a point of view central character that is not often represented in comics. You have a young girl who is not a white person being the central point of view person and is supposed to kick ass.
Unlike many of the other main white people in the show, in the cast, just awful. That delighted me.
That was actually my point, though, is it's not even the fact that they were white people who were jerks. It was just the fact of, like, we want to make this book diverse. Okay, by the way, who can we just eat? What's low-hanging fruit for just shitty individuals to be jerky people? I don't know. How about a guy in a, if we were in an 80s movie, it'd be a guy in like a Letterman sweater. Ooh, that's a good idea. Jock is always
short.
Let's
get Flash Thompson from Spider-Man, basically.
Yeah, but really simplify him. Like the Saturday morning cartoon dumbed down version of Flash Thompson. And let's make... Eh. And Yeah, it's just little stuff like that. Like, it's hard for me to really be like, if you're celebrating diversity, why are you going for overly stock characters?
Because it's their turn.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's kind of the thing of, like,
nothing in this book was done with subtlety and grace, shall we say.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just that kind of thing of, like, I don't know, if you're going to talk about how unique a book is, then it needs to be unique rather than something I could find from an 80s movie.
Yeah, and immediately, like, pretty much all the characters that aren't Kamala and her immediate family were basically so, all of them were so caricatured that it, like, I was like, especially like when they introduced the blonde girl, and I'm like, this is not a real person.
Yeah.
You know, like I was just like, okay, these people aren't real, so whatever. Yeah,
I have no problems believing that their dialogue are, aspects of their dialogue are things that people would say, because there's a lot of stupid people out there. And I'm sure some of those Letterman jacket and probably cheerleader girlfriends would act in such a way, but it's so caricature-ish that it kind of, you know, it's like, well, this is no longer a real story. How in a world where a girl is, you know, changing shape, do the background characters hurt the believability of it?
Like I said, like, the tone of this book is, it's all over the place. Like, literally at the end of the book, I was like, oh, this is like The Tick. This happens in the same world as The Tick. You know, like, and I was excited. I was like, man, if The Tick shows up, it's going to be great.
That would be great.
Like, honestly, like I said, as I was reading, I kept thinking of people I would like to see write this book.
Who would you
Sam
like to
Keith,
see write?
Definitely. Sam Keith is off the top of my head. But if we want to keep female writers, Noelle Stevenson would be amazing. Mm-hmm. She did Nimona. You should look it up. It's good. It's a webcomic, so you can read it. She would be great. Let's see. Who else was I thinking of? I should have written them down. Definitely Noelle Stevenson. She nails that, like, teenage, like, her webcomic Nimona is about a shapeshifter, actually, come to think of it.
Oh, wow.
Nimona is, in fact, a shapeshifter, and it's hilarious and weird and strange. She also is writing and doing the art on a comic called Lumberjanes.
Yeah, that's where I know the name from.
Yeah, she's great. Like, and she's funny. She's, like, actually funny. And I think that's what this book needs.
Yeah, Lumberjanes has been getting rave reviews. The art looks a little...
That's her style.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's... I don't want to talk...
Definitely webcomic-y sort of style.
It's the style of art where I'm like, either I will grow to love you, or I just won't develop a fondness.
Yeah. I think they should keep the current artist forever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do not let the artist get away.
I flipped through one of the issues that was not done by Alfana. Mm-hmm. I forget why, just to see what another person's take on it, and I was left cold. Mm. You know? I mean, of course, like, I almost feel like saying Joss Whedon should write the character is a little too predictable.
We'll
like, it's not like, I don't know. I'd almost feel she'd just start sounding more like Buffy than Kamala Khan.
Yeah.
Although, even though it would be really, really strange, I would, since we did mention Preacher, imagine this character written by, like, Garth Ennis, like, writing for kids.
He's a good writer.
He can do some amazing stuff.
Like, I think the first, like, 8/10 of it would be awesome, and then the last 23% would be like, why are you burning it all down, Garth?
Yeah, yeah.
You're burning it all down.
See, now I want to go read Hitman.
I love Hitman.
Because I was thinking, like, what has he done that's been kind of silly and fun and kind of filled with love for superheroes at times?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like I'm vented out on this. I just don't...
You vented your spleen?
Maybe, yeah. Like... I mean, my overall wrap-up would just kind of be that I was underwhelmed I wanted to be overwhelmed at how awesome this book was, but I read it and found not even a stock, like, under stock standard story that just kind of seems to fill, that seems to excite people more by what it is than how deftly it's handled.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, superheroes are our deities in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people feel about Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman the way they, it's a religious feeling at its root. Mm. And I think people are getting wrapped up in the religious mania, you know. And like I said, I enjoyed the book. Like, even with the clear issues, like, I still enjoyed it. I didn't feel like I even bought it, you know, off Amazon. But now, so there's, like I said, we talked about them, I felt their issues. Yeah. I still enjoyed it, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, it's one of those, I think I want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
10 issues down the road. Just come back and see what's going on.
If in 10 issues down the road, now that I guess G. Willow Wilson is writing, I know she's writing an X-Men book now. She's going to be writing the new all-female A-Force book, which is just a terrible, terrible name. Like, the moment they use the phrase "a force to be reckoned with," then I'm like, okay, no, you guys, you're all fired.
Oh, that's terrible.
All of you. Like, you know what's going to happen. They're going to make that joke, and I'm just going to hang my head in shame and be like, you're a professional writer. Really? It might not be G. Willow Wilson who does it, but I just feel like that phrase is going to come.
They can't help themselves.
And then I feel like it should have, like, not even banjo music, but some type of, like, polka music background. You know,
there's been lots of garbage written by male people. Writers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
So, by all means. It's, you know, like, that's my whole thing. It's like, I feel like it's such a cool thing that this sort of fiction is even viable, and it's going to get out there and find an audience. I'm excited about the girls who will read this and be like, I love this. And then they'll realize later that it's got problems, but it will still lead them to making more cool shit, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just all about any story that is just in some way different from the billion other stories. I'm willing to give it a pass on things.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, one of the, how to put this? One of the things that because I read way too many comic books, almost to an unhealthy degree.
Right.
I always wonder, like, what would have happened if comic books that I just felt were handled better, would have gotten in a way the same type of full court press or timing or whatever that magical fifth ingredient that goes into making a successful comic book had happened to them. Like, I'm thinking of,
I remember who else needs to write Comic-Con. The Fractions and Brian K. Vaughan should get in there and write it.
Oh, yeah. I think that would be awesome. I think, what's his name? For example, did you ever hear of, and I'm not going to be able to do the N with the Spanish in, but Araña. This was basically the character that got turned into Spider-Girl, and when she got turned into Spider-Girl, kind of hurt her. But the kind of Hispanic spider-powered person. But it was, again, it was that the young girl who went out and fought, and I just remember really enjoying that, but it just kind of got nerfed. Or even more recently, it was like they introduced a new Namor. Nomad. Like from another dimension, a young nomad who teamed up with other superheroes. And was it by like Sean McKeever? But I just remember like it got terrible reviews somehow, but I just remember really enjoying it because of its point of view. And I'm looking through my collection to see if I can find out what it was, but it was just one of those young superhero finding out, and it had a lot of these same basic ingredients as Ms. Marvel, but it suited my taste more, but apparently did not do enough to get people excited about it. Yeah, it was the Sean McKeever, it was the talking about Nomad, the girl without a world, and had a book, The Young Allies, and I just really enjoyed that line of comics, but all told, it only got, like, you know, including the kind of wrap-up series, maybe 10 issues.
Hmm.
But yeah, and it was great. I think those are stuff that I would just thought were handled better.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, I mean, does you kind of said you want to check it out 10 issues down the road, but...
Well, I don't read as many comic books as you do. Like, actually doing these podcasts with you have caused me to read way more comic books than I have in a long time.
I'm actually reading a comic book right now. That's...
right now. Can't even see it. I'm reading it right now.
Do it.
So, I'm not, it's not a situation where I'm going to run out of the store right now and pick up the very next issue. So I got to know what's going on. I kind of don't. Like, I want to see it, I want to wait 10 issues, let it develop and simmer and find its voice a little bit more. But if I walked into a bookstore and I found the next trade and I was like, oh, it's only $5. Okay. You know, basically if the world placed it at my feet,
gotcha.
I'd be like, all right, sure, I'll read it. Why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, I would definitely want to. I would want to wait a while. Give it some room.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is going to come as a complete and total surprise. But I think even if the world placed it at my feet right now, I'd probably just kind of keep walking at this stage. I'm just, you know, it's not whatever it is doing for people who think it is awesome. That's great. Love the comics you love. Enjoy them. Which is kind of odd since I've spent basically 40 minutes being like, yeah, this is kind of crap. But it's not doing it for me.
That's fine. I mean, you had to get it off your chest.
Yeah.
You had to be the lone dissenting opinion on this universally beloved and culturally significant boon from the heavens.
I don't know. It sounds like the universe is a full of jackasses to me.
That's fine. I mean, like I said, I think you've said your piece. You can walk away from it. It's fine.
Exactly. And at even though, yeah, I know, like I said, some of my ideas are nitpicky about it. Some of it are just little minutiae that just add up, that just stick in my brain too much for it to get there. But in a way, I almost wanted to do this podcast because when it comes to a character like Ms. Marvel and some of the other female-led issues that are being pushed out there, I kind of feel, because of sincere assholes in the world, like, I feel the conversation often gets just boiled down to the, if you don't like this character, if you don't like this comic, it's because, you know, I hates Muslims, and because there are those jerks out there. Like, let's not pretend there's someone who's going to throw, someone is going to throw away a comic just because they don't like the gender of the character. They don't like the sexuality of a character. They don't like the ethnicity of a character. And I think, and those people, fuck them. Fuck those people. No bones about that. But I think it's also led to a kind of backlash of people who maybe don't enjoy Ms. Marvel, or who don't like the idea of, or who aren't overly impressed with the new Thor comics coming out, that the only reason people don't like these books is because they're evil.
I mean, that is sort of natural in online criticism.
You're either with us or you're against us.
Yeah, like as soon something like that that's so important immediately off the bat. And it just people immediately get up their hackles.
Yeah,
you know, and their sexism or classism or racism.
Yeah,
and I think it's fair to say it does cut off a lot of dialogue. Yeah. But like I said, you are not religiously affiliated with this book.
And like I said, I almost wanted to do this just to kind of be like, here's a dissenting voice that I think I'd like to think. I'm not saying this out of any open antagonism towards the character, or even uncovered antagonism towards the character, what it represents. I just didn't like it.
I honestly, just from talking with you about it, you're disappointed. Like, you know, it's like you wanted it to be good.
Oh, I really did. I wanted this to kind of fill me with that joy of you go back and you read the first like 6 issues of Ultimate Spider-Man way back when it started. And like you read those and you're like, oh, it's Spider-Man. He's doing Spider-Man stuff. And I love it. I wanted to keep going. And this is like by issue 2, I'm like, I know exactly where this story is going. And I'm just tired of it already. Blah 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 blah. So Derek, you wrote a book?
I did. My newest book is called The Riddle Box. You may find it at Amazon.
Oh, Amazon.
In paper and digital versions. To my website, it's spell-sword.com, and you can find me on Twitter if you want. If you're into that.
How do they find you on Twitter?
Oh, it's at G Derek Adams.
See, you gotta get better at that. I don't even know how Twitter works though. What am I talking about? Yeah. Any other place they can find you? You know.
There's a fan page, spell/sword on Facebook. If that's where you like to hang out and interact with people.
I'm reading a comic book on Facebook right now. I don't know. Yeah, and you know, you should go like those things, and you should go buy them. I often hear it's better to buy a digital copy and then buy the paperback copy that you can then put in a glass case.
Mm-hmm.
So do that, and then you know, use your internet. And while you're liking spell/sword on Facebook, you should go to the Comics League International page and like that. And when this show gets, you know, if you're hearing it, it's already posted. Go to the comment section on Facebook and just, I don't know, tell me what you think about this. Tell me why it's awesome. Tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me why I'm right. Just tell me what you have for breakfast.
We just kicked a lot of people in the teeth about Ms. Marvel, so.
I did. If I have to run from the internet, you can send all complaints towards me to Twitter at G Derek Adams.
If I was like your complaint department, that'd be fun. I'd be like, I don't know what to tell you, he's a jackass. He always has been.
I think that would actually make people feel better. We're like, well, he has always been a jackass. It says right there.
He's staying the course.
That's what I do. Holding the line at 290. Wait, no, this comic I think costs way more than that. And you know, also, go to iTunes, listen, subscribe to the show if you haven't. Hear more of my bullheaded opinions. And drop a review, drop a rating. You know, don't make me cry too much. And then go to deadlytroubadour.com if you want to read those reviews I wrote about this. Then go there. Have I told you my theory about Thor? I want to end this on a high note.
I don't think so.
So, you know, we've got Thor the Odinson, and then we've got new Lady Thor, female Thor, Thor.
Right.
However going. And they're kind of keeping a mystery of who the female Thor is. And I believe I know who it is, and I believe it's the best choice ever. And I also believe that when they finally reveal who this Thor is, if it is not this character, it proves they were wrong.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
And okay. Do you know who needs to be underneath the mask and Mjolnir of Thor? Mary Jane Watson.
Why can't it be Mary Jane Watson?
Because what is she doing in Spider-Man now? They don't know what to do with her. She has all this experience of knowing superheroes, of, like, knowing stuff, and it'd be awesome. Like, take it off and it's like, oh, by the way, I'm actually Mary Jane Watson. It would be awesome. Like, rather than some, like, freshly made up character, like, I got introduced 2 issues before Thor became a woman. Like, no, go with someone whose dates back to fucking John Romita or Steve Ditko if you want to do the unrevealed face. Take someone who goes back that far in Marvel history who is doing nothing right now. Nothing but waiting around being like, they don't know what to do with me since they got rid of my marriage. What's up? And make her Thor. She lived in the Avengers Tower. Give her.
I don't think they're that clever. I think it's a cool idea, though.
Well, they could always do Aunt May, but I think that's a bit more of a stretch. Not quite as foxy. But I'm telling you, tell the world, Mary Jane is Thor.
Okay.
Because you demanded it.
I'll believe it.
And also, partly because, yeah, they're not really doing much with the character. It's all been, like, exposition and setup now. And I was reading this being like, what would make me care more about this new Thor? And I realized, I don't like the mystery. I want to know who this person is behind the mask, rather than, like, I am dangling hints in front of you. Like, nope, if she's Mary Jane, everything is suddenly awesome. Mary Jane is Thor. Ms. Marvel... Kamala Khan, not Thor. She's Ms. Marvel. That's okay with that. Needs a new writer. But Mary Jane is Thor. Deal with it.
And Mjolnir is secretly the Silver Surfer's surfboard.
Don't be stupid. That's just dumb. Don't throw your hack ideas at me, Mr. Adams. Don't take away the gravity of Mary Jane.
Of what I have revealed to the world.
And then when you connect all the dots, you see there's no other solution.
But you have a wall covered with yarn and pictures and little scribbled notes, don't you?
Can you see that in the Skype window? I thought I covered that up. No one's supposed to know. And okay. Then... Yeah, no, it's... See how much better we feel just knowing that Mary Jane is Thor? You feel good now, right?
Feel good now.
Yeah. So, forget rating the episode about the Kamala Khan portion of the show. Rate the episode on my theory, on my belief, on my faith. Mary Jane is Thor. It'll make you feel good about the world. Because think about it. You could have Mary Jane hit someone with the hammer, and they're like, ow, and she can be like, that's right, thou hast hit the jackpot, tiger.
God.
I'm keeping that. All right, tune in next week. Mary Jane is Thor.